Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, greetings, salutations, hi there, this is Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm your host, Ellen Hartwell. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. I see that we're getting more listeners, and that makes me smile. I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm glad you're downloading it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Before I introduce my wonderfully creative and intelligent and rather good-looking host, I do want to say, if you're going to wear a mask, I said if you're going to wear a mask, please make sure it covers your nose and your mouth, because if it's not covering your nose, you might as well not wear it. Just saying. So please, wear a mask, protect yourself, protect others, get a vaccine if you can. Let's really protect each other from Corona and her sisters, like Delta and whatever else could be out there. Thank you. You know I have to say that. I just have to. So thank you for protecting yourself, and thank you for protecting me effectively and efficiently. Now, without further, ado. Anyway, without further ado, John Warren, my wonderful co-host, how are you today?
I'm really good. How are you, Ellen?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Yeah, you sound raring to go. I'm not going to add anything, although I think it is a little funny. It's sort of funny when you see people like wearing the mask over their chin. It's like, you realize that's not where the air comes from, right? Your chin.
Oh, boy, could we riff on that. We're not going to.
Choose your battles in this time that we're in, and we're doing metaphysics on this show. So, I agree. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be doing metaphysical hors d'oeuvres. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad it's Tuesday. Everything is good. I saw Hamilton over the weekend, Ellen. Oh my goodness, it was a delight. An old friend from college was in town, and we went and. I'm still sort of living on those fumes, I'll tell you that. So that was good. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Today we are on the third step from the 12 steps and how the 12 steps apply to metaphysical notions, ideas, and ability to manifest. And the third step is that we made a decision. Let's say this slowly because it's important. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Made a decision. So that's the first part here, making a decision. We make decisions all day long. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to call my friend. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to take a shower. These are decisions. But those are easy decisions because they're basically part of your routine. Then there are other, should I buy a house? Should I not? Should I buy a car? Should I not? Should I have a child? Should I not? Bigger decisions. But making a decision is a hugely important aspect of manifesting because unless we decide and put our word out there, I have decided that I am a person who has, fill in the blank, a wonderful new job. I have decided that I'm going to do that. Once we make a decision, the word commitment comes in. Now, we can change our decisions, and I know that. But for the sake of this conversation, I am committed to this decision to do Blog Talk Radio with my dear friend John Warren. I've decided to do that. And because I have decided to do that, and John has also decided to do this show with me, thank God, ideas come, we talk about ideas, we work on this show because we find it delightful and fun. But we decided to commit to a half an hour every week. So that's a decision. And then we manifested this show. Yay, I'm so glad we did. So we decide. We put our commitment, our vision, our emotional, our intellectual, visual energy into turning our will, that scares me, turning our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. So let's go to the end there. whoever God is to you, God, spirit, universe, nature, science, doesn't matter, but to something greater than yourself, higher power. That's important, to have some concept of something that you maybe can't describe. Maybe you really don't know, but you have a sense that there's a power greater than yourself at work within and around you. And if you don't, that's okay, too, because you can pretend you do. Fake it until you make it, that there is a power. Call it God. We're going to call it God just because it's easier than going through God, spirit, universe, Muhammad, Allah. We could be on the, you know, doing this for 20 minutes, naming all the gods and goddesses, which I don't have time to do, and besides, I don't know them all. So God represents the God of your understanding, whatever that is, or whatever you're faking it until you make it, that is. So we made a decision. We committed our energy, our intellectual, emotional, visual energy to trust God, turn our lives over, our will and our lives over to the God of our understanding, our will. Are you kidding? I have free will. Nobody's going to take that away from me. That is correct. I turn my free will over to the God of my understanding, because I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but boy, can I goof. Boy, can I fall flat on myself, flat on my face, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, make a ninny out of myself. But if I take a moment and I say, okay, this is my will. This is where my will is pointing. Let me get divine guidance. Let me get the highly evolved energy of the universe in on this. So for me, and I know you've heard me say this, but hey, God, yeah, how are you today? Perfect. How are you? Working on it. Okay, good. God, do you think that I should fill in the blank? Well, maybe you do hear God. I know that I imagine it. But I don't know that I actually hear God, but it doesn't matter. So I have this imaginary conversation. God, do you think I should move to South Carolina? At the time, I lived in Florida. Well, yes, I do. Okay, because so do I. And what are the good things about moving to South Carolina? What are the risk benefits? What are the pros and the cons? And I actually have an imaginary conversation about all that. And then I feel more confident in turning my will over to God and saying, okay, we agree on this. Now, that's easy, right? But what if we don't agree? And God says, and this actually happened, yes, but not now. But I want to go now. I want to move now. Not the right time. But why? Because it's not the right time. There are a lot of components to this, and if you do it too soon, you're not going to get the right place. It's not the right time. It's not the right energy. So don't do it now. A year later, it was like, hi, God, yeah. How about now? Go for it. The time is right. Great. A full year of wanting to do something but trusting the guidance I was getting, not only from God but from people, but mostly God, that no, it's not quite the right time, and I will know when the right time is, and God will guide me, and people I trust will guide me. Okay, so that is turning my will over, but I want to, but the time isn't right. Okay. Okay, I won't, because I trust that the God of my understanding is much better at figuring things out than I am. It doesn't mean I don't have free will. I could have moved before I did, a whole year. I could have, but I didn't. And because I didn't, many things fell into place in such a miraculous way to me that it wasn't even funny. So good. I'm glad I turned my will over to the God of my understanding to make that big decision, and I'm glad I did. And our lives, turn our will and our lives over. Wait, I'm not turning my life over to anybody. This is my life. Get out of here, would you? Well, wait a minute. Let me think about that. Take all the emotion and the Ellen the brat going, no, it's my life. It's my will. You can't make me. No, wait a minute. My life is mine. It is mine to live as I see fit. No one is going to change that. However, if I turn my life over, what is happening is I am remembering from whence I came. I came from, for me it's God, I came from God. I will one day return to God. So that life force, that energy that caused me to be animated isn't mine anyway. It's not mine. It comes from God and lives within me, and I have a lot of power over that. I can jump off a bridge if I want to. Thank goodness I don't. But life to me is a wonderful journey, and I don't want to take myself out. But when the time comes for me to exit stage left, I'm going to Disney. I'm going back from whence I came. If you need me, I'll be at Epcot. And so this life is mine but isn't. It was given to me to use, but it belongs to me in some way, but not to me in some way. And that's a little confusing. But when I worked that step, I went, my life isn't fully mine. My life is on the continuum of the God consciousness. And therefore, I stay on that continuum. I don't take myself out. But when my life is over and I die of whatever, or I'm hit by a truck, whatever, then I go back to where I came from. And I'm here to uncover everything I can remember about that fabulous place that I call Epcot, where I was with God at all times with no barrier of the flesh. I am with God at all times now, too. But there's a barrier of flesh that makes it a little harder, at least for me, to believe, to exercise my faith muscle, and to remind myself that I and God are one. I don't really know that. If I really knew that, wow. But I don't really know that. I believe it to some degree, but I don't really experience that, even though I know it, if that makes any sense at all. So intellectually, I know that. Emotionally, I don't know that I fully get it. Spiritually, of course I know it. So when I look at this step and I make a decision, I commit to a certain plan to turn my will and my life over to the God of my understanding. What happens is, and it doesn't happen for everybody all at once, so don't get your knickers in a knot, but what happens is that peace and understanding starts to come in. I am working with God. I am bringing from the unseen to the seen with God. I am never alone. I can be at the grocery store and really want to buy those chocolate-covered donuts that are not good for me and are terrible for my hips. And I can say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'd like to, but I'm turning my will over because I know I'll feel terrible if I eat them. And so I'm not going to do that. That's a small, tiny example. But when we do it in small, tiny things, it gets easier to do it in bigger decisions. So, and we turn our lives and our will over to the God of our understanding becomes, you got it, a practice. And when we practice it in smaller things, it's much easier to practice it in what to us, not to God, but to us, larger decisions, more important decisions. It becomes easier to hear that still small voice, that guidance, that high vibration that says, eh, or yay or nay. And so when I get an eh, I may not like it, but I'm training myself to listen to guidance and to say, no, you know what, if I really do not feel that the God of my understanding is with me on this, then I'm going to wait, because it might be I'll feel that way tomorrow or know it tomorrow, but today I don't, so I'm not going to do it. It is a practice. And what happens when we make a decision we commit to, turning our will and our lives over to the God of our understanding, our vibration is higher, our lives are more peaceful, we're better listeners, we're more compassionate, we're more authentic, we're more awake, more aware, more efficient, more organized, more of our authentic self shows itself because we are humble enough to say, I'm not doing this by myself, ladies and gentlemen. I am co-creating, and therefore I make a decision. And in making that decision, I have just offered to myself the gift of peace, the gift of harmony, the gift of days that are far less filled with drama and angst and yada, yada, blah, blah. So when I make a decision, I have committed my mind, my soul, perhaps my body, to going in that direction and learning more about what that means every day to turn my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding. The care, God careth for you. That spirit, that universe, that amazingly high vibration cares about you. And because that high vibration cares about you, you need not fear. Because the more you practice this, the more you'll be in touch with that authentic self, that spirit, that energy, and you will begin to know that you are cared about and that you and that energy can co-create the life you desire. So think about this. Say it to yourself. Read it slowly if you need to, and find the ways in which you can use this as a tremendously powerful manifesting tool. You are not doing it alone. So that's what I have to say about that. Next week's show, oh boy, this is a big one, ladies and gentlemen. Next week's show is about made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Oh boy, what is that? It sounds like, oh, I've got to dig up all my stuff. You'd be surprised at how liberating that is. And again, high vibration. So that's what we're talking about next week, the fourth step, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We will get into that next week. You are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I am Ellen Hartwell, your host, and I am now going to turn it all over to my amazing co-host, John Warren. I'm going to go mute, let her rip, tater chip.
Bye, Ellen. Bye.
See ya.
You said some really great stuff about this. I love this little, like, now it's my turn to hand out the hors d'oeuvres at the metaphysical party. Like, metaphysical hors d'oeuvres. I love this because of the activity of it. And I love this step because of the activity of it. And we are talking about metaphysics here. This is not a Blog Talk Radio show about treating addiction or alcoholism. Which is what these 12 steps were designed for. Just that's the disclaimer. I want to be clear about that. We're talking about how this kind of stuff can dovetail, because the 12 steps come from a spiritual tradition that was the Oxford group. But most major spiritual traditions will look at the 12 steps and say, oh, no, that works. Yes, absolutely. Doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist or a Christian or wherever you land on that scale, in that part of things, you will find something in these traditions. And we certainly, as metaphysicians, I absolutely find empowerment in these steps, whether I'm treating addiction or stuff that's bothering me or not. This step is fantastic, and Ellen hit on a lot of the high points here. But she led with this, and I want to also repeat and lead with it. Made a decision. Because that's the moment. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives into the care of God as we understood him. You can say her, you can say it, you can say them, say whatever you want for the pronoun at the end. The pronoun is less important than the beginning, which is made a decision. Now, who has to do that? Is God making the decision? No, God is not making the decision. And I'm a firm believer in this. God so loved the world that he said, you can do whatever you want. And if you look around, you will see that that is exactly what we have done. Now, the reason why we can do whatever we want is because if we couldn't do that, if we did not have free will, then the entire project of evolution, which I think is what this is about, and I'm not talking about monkeys becoming men evolution, although I do think that's part of the creative process. I'm talking about your individual spiritual evolution, my individual spiritual evolution. Through this experience we're having in the human body with the human condition and everything that is part of that, that if we took away free will, in other words, God, if God said, well, you don't have free will, I'm deciding, there's fate, and then I decide things for you, you're going to turn left here, you're going to go to Kmart instead of Walmart. Is there Kmart anymore? I'm aging myself. You're going to go here instead of there. You're going to marry this one instead of that one. If God was doing all of that, there would be no incentive to evolve. You and I wouldn't actually be agents of our own change. We wouldn't actually be agents of our own evolution. Now, some people believe that, and if that's comfortable for you, I say hats off to you. You and I will have little or nothing in common. We probably will not be close friends. Maybe we'll be friends on other issues, like on other things. We'll love rugby together or something. But we won't be spiritual mates, because that's not come from in metaphysics, and that's not where I come from. And step three, to be crystal clear about this, those first three words are really important. If you want to evolve, there comes a point in clarity in your own evolution spiritually where you have to make a decision about that evolution. Now, I want to back up for a split second, and then I'll get to the other side of the decision. People evolve spiritually without making a decision. Don't get me wrong. I want to be clear about that. But invariably, they are either raised in a way that love is just everywhere and all around them. Love is all around. It's Mary Tyler Moore theme. And because they had kind, supportive, they come from a realistic place. They come from great parents or whatever it is. They were born that way. I don't know what there is. That's one way. And those people actually tend to evolve slowly in my observation, but they are evolved and evolving. The other one is, like it or not, is suffering through pain. We evolve unconsciously via pain if we have any willingness to at all. Now, sometimes it can take, my belief system personally, sometimes it can take lifetimes, but even if you've just done it in this lifetime, if you keep putting your hand on the hot stove, most people eventually learn not to put their hand on the hot stove. Now, that is usually unconscious. No, that made me feel bad. I don't know why that made me feel bad, that food, that relationship, but I'm going to try something else. But they're still acting out. I'm still acting out from an unconscious place. And here's where step three comes in that's so beautiful in terms of metaphysics. And we got to the first two steps because we were in some sort of pain, usually. There's some sort of suffering. I don't want to drink. I wrecked my family with my drinking. Or something much more simple of like, my life is stagnant. Why? Why is my life stagnant? You know, it's unmanageable because it's kind of stagnant. Nothing's changed. Oh, maybe something bigger than myself can get me around this and make my life bigger or less stagnant or make it flow. So what I'll do next is actually quite natural. And it's not, I repeat, it's not coming from an unconscious place. When you start making decisions to hand your life over, and I'll get to this in a minute, to something greater than you that happens to be inside of you, working through you, I'm going to give myself over to that. I'm going to decide to. And that, which we're going to choose to call God in this conversation, in my little speech here on metaphysical, I'm going to choose to call it God. When you choose to give your life over to that thing that created you and is creating through you right now, right at this very second, it's doing that. When you decide to do that, you are consciously engaging that energy. And, you know, the electricity is there whether I pay attention to it or not. But when you start engaging that energy, then you actually give yourself the ability to create with consciousness. Now, why does it feel like in the second part of this step that I am turning my will and my life over? Because fundamentally, if you're not dealing with addiction, and I want to repeat that over and over again, you're dealing with something else. If you're using this kind of metaphysical stuff that we're talking about here, you're making a decision to turn your will and your life over to the God of your understanding. What you're doing is turning yourself over to the creative energy that created you, that is creating right now through you. It's a very long-winded way of saying God. When you decide to do that, what happens next is you can engage. And what you're actually surrendering when you turn your will over, and if you want to, replace it with BS. You're turning your nonsense over. You're turning the things over that don't work for you. Now, I can say BS, but also just sort of like you're turning your ego, and I don't want Ellen to get offended by this, but it's like, oh, no, I want to move now. She kind of gets it. the ego in me says, no, I'm done with where I am. I don't like it here anymore. I want to go now. Now, the creative power that created you and is working and is inside of you and is creating through you right now, which is a long-winded way of saying God, says to you, yeah, but you know what? As Ellen said, I'll repeat it. There's a lot of components here. There's some chickens that are going to show up that need you, and they aren't going to be ready until later down
You're
the
funny,
line.
John.
And well, it's true. There's all sorts of components here that creative energy is putting into play, and you'll be more satisfied. Things need to happen. There's a rhythm. Then this happens with me too all the time. No, I want to do this now. I got to have this now. And when we surrender our will, and then in fact, the next natural step when you start surrendering, that doesn't mean you stop wanting things. Not what that is. And we'll get to this later in a later step. It's just saying right now you, and next week we start with the process of cleaning out. So I say to you, you're turning your will, you're turning over what you think you want, which may or may not be right, depending on how far you are along in this process. I must have this and stomp your feet. You stop being a teenager or a toddler. This is the step where that starts. And say, you know, the toddler may want to eat candy all day and stomps its feet and screams. No, I won't. Metaphysics actually isn't the process of becoming a toddler again or a belligerent teenager that becomes sullen because they can't, you know, stay out until 2 a.m. because the parents won't give them the car keys. That's not what metaphysics is about. The metaphysics fundamentally, even though I say repeatedly, you started this process by saying, I want something better. I'm in pain here. Usually I'm suffering for some reason. I don't like where I am. I don't like my marriage. I want more money. I don't have enough money, and it's causing me embarrassment or hunger or whatever. I got to change the process here. That's where we start. But metaphysics isn't really about that fundamentally. At the end of the day, it's about evolving you as a person so that you can go home with a clearer head. And by home, I mean what Ellen refers to as Epcot. So you can keep evolving. And then the process that God gave us of creation can actually be the joy of living because you are wealthy already. That's a given. You already are in the place where you're most supposed to be. That's a given. All we're doing here is catching up to ourselves. And so when we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, what we're saying in metaphysical terms is we're making a decision to catch up with the greatest part of ourselves that already exists. Now, maybe it'll happen instantaneously. I hope it does. Most people's spiritual evolution is of the educational variety. Occasionally people are struck, you know, thunderstruck. And go, oh, I'm going to totally, that's it, I'm done. I'm now evolved, I'm now Gandhi. Most people don't, though. We move slowly, we learn things, we skin our knees, we get back up again, we go, okay. And eventually, you don't have to go through that process, or the process becomes much quicker. But the beginning of that process, honest to God is, and I mean this, is we make a decision. I mean, it's because people forget those three words. I see this all the time when I work with people who are in a 12-step program. It's like, no, you got to decide this. And frankly, if you're anything like me, who loves to overeat, and I've had all sorts of issues I've wrestled in my life, I have to keep making that decision. Now, I'm much better at it than I used to be. I mean, there are certain things I just don't think about anymore. I don't have to decide whether I'm going to drink tonight. Meh. No, I'm done with that. But for a year and a half, 2 years, I absolutely did. Every single happy hour, I need to make this decision again. I'm going to turn my will over to something greater. And you can do that on anything. And it's 28 after the hour, so I'm going to wind this up and say, make a decision to surrender, to turn your life and your will, just practice it for a little while and do it on something that you're stuck on. Don't do it on easy, you know, like, okay, I'm going to surrender my need to buy red vines today. It's like, well, that's nothing. Do it on something that you're stuck on. I really want this person to call me back. I really want this job. It's like, do it on something you're stuck on for 30 days. Like, you know what, when this comes up, I'm going to say, you know what, God, powerful thing that created me, I'm going to give this over to you, and I'm going to let it go. Now, next week, we're going to get into what you do next, which is just you got to get busy cleaning house. You got to start making room for the stuff to show up that you want. It's the end of my rant on this, Ellen. Make a decision.
Well, it certainly was a wonderful rant, and it's not a rant. It's well-informed based on life experience and education and insight and intelligence. So we have 10 seconds left. Thank you so much for listening. And, John, I think that was so helpful. Thank you. I'm sitting here with going, wow. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week, and let your lives rip, tater chips.